Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to wrap up this week a reflection on Jesus' words, encouraging words to the apostles in the Last Supper discourse from John's Gospel, from the Olivet Discourse in Matthew chapter 24 and 25, Jesus helping the apostles come to terms with the inescapable reality of the spiritual battle, the spiritual conflict that goes, you know, hand in hand with being a disciple of Jesus. Jesus said, "In this world you'll have tribulations, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world." He said to the apostles, "Now before you decide to come after me, just think clearly about this, assess it, take it to heart. If you follow me, you're going to experience what I experience. You're going to experience the rejection of the world. The more you're going to be like me, the more the world is going to reject you, the fallen dimension of the world around us. And it's going to cost you. You're going to have to take up your cross." So Jesus was honest about that right through, you know, the call of the apostles and teaching them about the challenge of what it will be to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. But he regularly, and then in these, especially these last most intense, especially in John, like five straight chapters there of the Last Supper discourse, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Yeah, that's five chapters. And he's very clear about the challenge that's put before them. And he's saying to them again and again, very troubling things about what's going to happen to him, how they're going to react to what happens to him, what it's going to expose about them, the breaking up of their brotherhood for a time, the scattering that's going to happen, the betrayal, the denials. And then at the same time, as that in itself is enough to shake them and trouble their hearts, he talks so dramatically. They just heard like a few days before him talking about what was going to happen at the destruction of the temple, which would come in 70 AD, which would absolutely rock the whole Jewish world, would never be the same after that. The impossible was going to happen. The temple, the place of God on earth, the Holy of Holies, was going to be destroyed. And lots of death and lots of carnage was going to happen. And then also, there's reference to the trials before the return of the Lord, which is why I'm taking it up and probably will touch on it a few times over the next few weeks as we reflect on living between the two comings of Jesus in the season of Advent, which means to come, right? The comings of Jesus. He comes the first time. You know, we're going to celebrate it at Christmas, the miracle of the incarnation of our Lord. But we anticipate always with one eye toward the return of the Lord and the examination of our own hearts. Are we posturing ourselves? Are we alert, sober, clear-headed in the kind of way anticipating with longing the return of the Lord, like Jesus talked about and how the apostles talked about it so much, and how in them Jesus produced this disposition, this trusting, abandoning ourselves to the Lord. Even in the midst of trial, they learned to live in a way that they didn't the night Jesus was arrested and their weakness was exposed in that whole trial. But as Jesus is telling them and explaining to them the reality of the troubles of the battles and the tribulation they were all going to go through, and we are too, friends, and they're probably going to increase in our time. But many brothers and sisters over the centuries and in this last century have experienced tremendous persecution and trial. But Jesus wants us to take in his word the way he expected the apostles to, and he commanded them, we've been talking about all week, don't be anxious and don't let your hearts be troubled. We don't always think about it that way. We think, well, I have this intense emotion, so I have to live in that intense emotion. No, Jesus doesn't say deny that the emotion is real. He's saying handle it, and handle it by letting me help you. And then he shows us a way. And it has to do with faith and trust first in him. As I mentioned yesterday in the program, I was going through these different truths that Jesus is communicating to the apostles. And at the heart of what I'm talking about this week is this. The cure for a troubled heart is Jesus. The answer he gives our troubled hearts, is himself. And the main focus and the essence of heaven itself is a person, the very presence of Jesus. And that's the ultimate source of consolation on this earth, seeing Jesus, living with Jesus. Think about the apostolic prayers of St. Paul. He prays, Father, that the eyes of their hearts would be enlightened, that they could see the hope that's within them, the hope of the calling that the Lord has given to us, the confidence we can live in, and grasping the amazing inheritance in the saints, that we see the destiny of the saints, and they're already living with the Lord, and we're going to inherit what they already fully possess. We have a down payment of it. And then he goes on to say, and the immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe. That realization, living with those graces that are so powerful and so life-transforming, only happens when we've internalized what Jesus is calling the apostles to here. To believe in God, to trust in the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. To know that Jesus is preparing a place. Nothing will stop what he's preparing for us in heaven. It's unfolding. It's going to happen. It's already begun in our baptism. Have total confidence. He's with us always. He's dwelling in us as in a temple. The power of the Holy Spirit, lay hold of who you are. That's why Paul would say the incredible greatness of his power in us who believe. Well, what is that power? It's not money. It's not material things. It's not our degrees. It's not our accomplishments. It's the living God living in us as in a temple in the spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that animated the life of Jesus and the fire of God and the fire of his purifying love. All of that is in the human heart that's been baptized into Christ. And so Jesus is simply reminding the apostles, basically I'm talking about 7-8 truths here. One, belief in the truth about Jesus, his person, his promises, his leadership, as one man put it. The second truth, Jesus promised to return to be with us in the Father's house forever. So lay hold of that. That's his promise to you. He already has real estate for you. It's in the kingdom. It's already begun. You're already beginning to live it, but there's a final place of living with him in glory. And he's coming to you. And he's going to bring you there. And he's trustworthy. He's a true friend. He's not a man that he should lie, Scripture says, in the sense of like the rest of us, you know, weak human beings. He's totally faithful to his promises. That's what it means to be covenanted with God. The third truth, we engage in a deep relationship here and now with God in this present age, not only in the age to come. It begins here. Jesus said, abide in me. I will abide in you. Just as the Father abides in me and I abide in the Father, as the Father loves me, so I love you, all of that. We can go deep, deep into that in this life. Jesus said, here is the antidote for the troubled heart. Here's the way to live fruitfully in the midst of all the troubles. Each one of us, friends, have an opportunity to do this. And that's why anybody on this earth, I don't care how simple, uneducated, whatever, has the capacity in God, if they're baptized into Christ and they walk in the footsteps Jesus is putting before us here, to become the greatest. That's why Jesus said, you know, people, we're going to be shocked in the kingdom to come. You know, the first will be last and the last will be first. We'll be shocked. I mean, the kings of the earth get worshiped day and night on media. You know, the big stars, the big rich, the powerful, all that kind of stuff. The Lord's not impressed with that at all. Not at all. And the simple in this world, those who are filled with love, they're always giving glory to God, not themselves. So when our hearts are filled in this way, we will be able to live differently in the middle of the storm. Truth number four, he supernaturally empowers us now by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told the apostles, I will give you another helper. This is John 14, 16 through 17, John 26. He dwells with you and he will be with you. Friends, do you believe that about yourself? Those of you who are baptized into Christ, do you really believe it? If you believe this, it is a total life changer. It will give you strength where you don't have strength. It'll give you hope where you don't have hope. It'll allow you to see yourself completely differently. He said, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. You know, as I'm sitting here just reading it, I need to take this in more deeply in my own life. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. He's going to teach you. He's going to show you where to go. He's going to open the doors and just trust your life as it unfolds. It's in his hands. And there's going to be grace for every step of the way. Even if it doesn't go like how you planned it, he's the one. Remember, he's your treasure. He's the gold. He's the victory. He's the fulfillment. Truth number five, God's love for God and his people. There's a truth that is life-changing as well. Jesus says, the Father loves me, so I love you. The Father loves me, so he loves you. John 15, John 17. And God's radical love for his people, Jesus said, as the Father loved me, I love you. And he said, Father, he does this, Jesus bore witness so that the world may know you, that we might know the Father. You've loved them as you have loved me, Jesus said about his disciples and Father. He said, Father, you've loved them just the way you've loved me. This is what we're being brought into, friends, and this is the definition of success. God loves me. I love God. Therefore, my life is a success. I am living the most meaningful life possible on the earth if this simple equation is what moves in me. Truth number six, access to supernatural resources through spirit-led prayer as God supplies our needs. He said, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory of Jesus Christ, his riches in glory by Christ, through Christ. He gives us a share in all of it. So we have resource. He's going to supply our need. We need to believe that. If we don't, we're going to hoard, we're going to hide, we're going to be fearful, we're not going to trust, we're going to get caught up in the anxiety of the world is a zero-sum game, and I've got to pile up everything for myself, and to the degree that my neighbor has something, that means I have less, and all the craziness that's there. That's the power of death. That's the reign of sin and death. When that happens, you can see that, you can feel it. Truth number seven, how Jesus responded to the apostles when they stumbled. Let this be a consolation to you. He was tender-hearted toward them. He loved them. He still called them friends. Read throughout chapter 15 of John's gospel. He prayed for them. He spoke words into their life. He encouraged them. He's with them. He's a true friend. Meditate on the friendship of Jesus and what a true and wonderful friend he is. And don't let your sins and your guilt and shame get in the way. Just if you're baptized into Christ, 70 times, 7 times a day, you can seek him and mourn, ask forgiveness, and there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So don't get under the heel of the enemy and don't listen to his lies. It's something we all have to be vigilant with. Yeah, it's so important. Truth number eight, the joy of eternal rewards related to being faithful to Jesus and enduring in persecution. Jesus said, blessed are you when men hate you and revile you for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward will be great in heaven. Jesus talks about rewards a lot. He said, sell what you have and give alms, provide for yourselves treasures in heaven. Whoever gives one a cup of cold water, he shall by no means lose his reward. The Lord wants to reward his friends. Friends, there's a test here in this world, and this world is about being faithful to God, faithful to Jesus, bearing witness, and he's the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. You are meant to be a faithful witness. You are meant to be part of the firstborn's new humanity and to serve your king in eternity forever. Friends, if this program has blessed you, I just want to encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net or download our app and share it with other people, the Renewal Ministries app, and support us in prayer and financial support in any way you can. So God bless you. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.